Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. David Gagin is my guest today. This is going to be a little bit different show. We're going to talk about some things maybe not so related to ex-offender reentry, just for a little bit of fun. And David has got some ideas on why we are who we are. And I think you're going to enjoy this show. I want you to stay tuned for David Gagin. We'll be back with David right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Well, hey, everybody. Remember, you can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Welcome back. My guest today is David Gagin, and we're going to talk to Dave about his book called The Endless Journey, A Unique Perspective on Mankind's Origin, Purpose, and Ultimate Destiny. David did not do that sort of thing for a career. David is an engineer, went to Villanova, worked for Boeing in the Army, where he worked with NASA and was the U.S. Army's representative to NATO's advisory group for aerospace, and the creator of, I believe it's Cobham Defense Electronic Systems. Wow, that's a mouthful, David.
It is.
So how do you get from that sort of thinking to the more abstract thinking that we want to talk to you about today, where you're talking about the reasons why we exist? How do you make that transition?
Well, that's a good question. I'm a technical person by nature, and as such, I needed to make a living. So I went to college and popped out as an electrical engineer. And so I spent my life in the technical world. But all along, I always... my real passion was understanding why I was here and what's what's life all about. So I started looking into that when I was young and really a teenager, and I just continued to do it. And all my spare time I spent looking at things like what's going on in the world. Why are some of these things happening? So I kind of grew into it. But that was my passion in life. That's what I truly loved. And when I had spare times on airplanes and airports and hotel rooms, that's what I spent my time in searching into.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that it's your contention from things that I've been looking at here that the answer to that question doesn't necessarily lie in religion or science, for that matter. So where did you turn?
Well, that's a good question. I looked at science, and of course, being a technical guy, that was probably the first place I looked. I looked at religion, and both of them I was discouraged with. I didn't like the dogma religion, and I struggled mightily with the atheism that mainstream science was preaching. So I started looking at the oddities of the world, things like where'd the pyramid come from, and why does mankind all of a sudden just appear on the planet for no reason at all, and why they had maps of the Antarctic that were almost identical to the ones we have today without the snow. Why'd they have those 500 years ago? Mm-hmm. And the more I looked, the more I saw that the world was probably not as we think it was, as our past history, and that there was probably an awful lot of knowledge and wisdom on this planet a long time ago. And I wanted to know what that was. So I started looking at instead of religion, the origin of religion, and what did people, or, you know, originally think, and where did all these areas come from? And then I looked at philosophy, and the older the better, the Eastern and Western philosophy. And then I looked at other things like psychics, and there are some fascinating stories there. Mysticism I looked at. Then I went into psychology, and I looked at things like past life regressions, you know, hypnotic regressions and near-death experiences. And I went to a whole bunch of different, areas that appeared to be, totally unrelated. And it turned out that as the years went by, I started to see a picture, and the picture that I started to see tied them all together. And they all ended up pointing at the same thing. And if it didn't, I could understand why and where it went wrong.
Okay, so you found a common thread. Before we go any further, I want to ask you, since you're someone, I really hadn't planned to ask you this, but since you brought it up, it's always been amazing to me that pyramids exist on separate continents.
Right.
And so, I mean, did you find some thread of commonality in terms of how that is?
Absolutely. It became very clear to me that the only plausible solution was that there was a society that lived on this planet in the past that had the capability of building these pyramids, and this society covered the globe. It was a universal society. It was extremely high technology society. And if you look at the Giza pyramid, for example, mm-hmm. I don't believe you could build it today. It's got, you know, the small stones are 1 ton, the big ones are 50 tons. If there's 25 million of them, if you put them end to end, they'd go around the Earth at the equator, and you just go on and on about the perfection of this thing. You go look at the Pyramid of the Sun down there in Mexico, and this thing is about the same size, and the inside is lined with mica, and mica is an insulator, and this mica, they have determined, came from Brazil 2,000 miles away. Who did this? So it was clear to me that somebody lived on this planet, and you can go on, and you know,
Easter Island.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's endless what you can find. And that's what it is. And I wanted to know, quite frankly, what they knew. I'd like to know who they were, but I was fascinated to know, what did they know? What did they think about life? Who were these people? They were a very advanced society. What did they think?
Well, being an education person, before, I guess you know that this program is geared towards ex-offenders. It's a little bit different program that we're doing today with David. We're kind of getting off track here, but having a little bit of fun. I thought that the listeners would appreciate the things that you have to say. And before I got in trouble, being an education person, I was a school teacher for many, many years. This argument of nature versus nurture was something that is hotly debated in the education field. And I was wondering what you had to say about that.
Yeah, okay. Maybe to help your listeners a little bit, you know, my view of life and what I have come up to believe is really the only plausible explanation of our existence is the fact that we are spirits having a life experience. We are all eternal spirits, and a spirit is basically a mind, and a mind is nothing more than thought. That's the only thing that are really real is our thoughts. And as such, we're growing, and we're on this earth to have an experience, to learn a certain lessons, and to continue growing. Our purpose, our long-term purpose, is to perfect our soul. So here, what we're doing is learning one little piece of it. So as we come in and out of life, and I have convinced myself, and it took a long time to do it, that reincarnation is absolutely true. When we come to this earth the first time around, we're very naive. You know, we've been somewhere else, but we're very naive spirits. But if we've been here many, many lives, we start getting some wisdom behind us. So I think if you took two spirits, one that was very naive and one that was extremely experienced, and you put them in the same set of circumstance, the experienced spirit would be able to work their way through the difficult times and be fine. The less experienced, the more naive one that was just learning these things would be more easily led astray, if you will. So you'll find that my belief on this would be more that, you know, it's a combination of the two. It's nature and it's nurture. It's one, what we bring with us when we show up here, and two, what we're exposed to and how we deal with those circumstances that come across us.
So would it be different, you know, the amount of nature versus nurture in each individual? Would it be different for each individual?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that the younger spirit who doesn't have the experiences is liable to make different circumstances. You get a very old salt, and he's been around many, many lifetimes. I think you're going to find that his nature is going to be able to work through any nurturing problems that fall his way.
Mm-hmm. I am the proud grandfather of twin girls. They're three. And for the time being, they're with us right now. And it's been amazing to me as I watch them grow, the kinds of things that they do when they interact with each other that nobody has taught them. For example, helping each other or feeling sympathy towards each other. It's been an amazing experience watching those children grow. And you ever want to talk about nature versus nurture, watch some twins when they're...
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We show up here with a whole bunch of stuff. And we've all, even the youngest and most naive spirit that shows up is still gone a long way and had a lot of testing and a lot of learning just to be allowed to incarnate into a human form and try to deal with the problems that we have today. So these young children that show up, they may not be young children at all. They're young in ages in this life. They may be old souls that are coming in to do great things.
Wow, this is fascinating. We're going to take a real quick break. Back with more with David Gagin right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all. You know, I found it's real important for people like me who have had an addiction problem in the past so bad that it ended us up in prison that we're careful with our downtime. And so one of the things I've learned to do is to play some music. I've learned how to play a little guitar and a little bass. And one of the things that's really, really helped me is something called the Jam Buddy chord chart. It uses something called the Nashville numbering system, which enables me to play songs in any key. Now, if you're into music and you're being productive with your downtime with something like learning music, you need one of these Jam Buddy chord charts. They only cost a couple of bucks. If you click on the link next to the podcast, it'll take you right to it. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart. And welcome back. We're talking with David Gagan. Fascinating conversation. David, this is a little bit off the rails, too. Something I've been thinking about as we've progressed through our discussion today. But I'm wondering what your thoughts would be about what is out there in the universe. I noticed that you say that maybe it's just possible that we're not supposed to find out all of the secrets of the universe. What are your thoughts about the fact that so many planets are in a supposed Goldilocks zone where life could exist? What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think there's any accidents in nature, and I think the cosmos was created. I think it was created by what we are part of, which is the universal consciousness. We're a spark within the, if it was a flame, we would be a spark, and we are growing to become equal, unique, and valuable members of that august body, if you will. But I think that the universal consciousness created this universe for the purpose of teaching young spirits and maybe older spirits lessons of life, and in our case here, probably emotional lessons, because emotion is harder to get and understand in the safe spiritual world. But down here, where life is kind of an illusion, and we look around and we think of ourselves as a body, and our body is, can be hurt by things. So we see the world from a certain perspective. And I think the universe was absolutely created. And I think you're going to find there is a huge, a staggering number of planets out there with life like us and different, like us and different from us. Other planets. Farther along, not as far along, and I think that that's in our future. As far as finding out, I think in the end, ultimately, we'll find out everything. I think there will be nothing hidden from us when we're able to get it. And if we're not mature enough to understand it, then we won't be exposed to it. But once we are, there's going to be nothing hidden from us.
God, this is fascinating. You say that we have every reason in the world to be optimistic. Tell me about that.
Well, we're here to learn, and we're, we make mistakes, and what we don't realize is that's how we learn, is from our mistakes. And the bigger the mistake, the more we learn from it. When something goes well in your life, quite frankly, you probably don't know why. And you don't know why because it just kind of moved along and you never really look at it. You never think that much about it. You're just glad that it happened. Mm-hmm. Well, when things go bad and we make mistakes, boy, we understand all the little ugly details of those mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's where we do our learning. But once a mistake is made and once the lesson is learned from that experience, it's forgotten. The universal consciousness, they don't hold anything against us. Nobody's punished for what we don't know. We just move on to the next experience and the next experience. And the key is trying to stay on plan, on course. When we come down here, we have a life plan that we have agreed to ahead of time with some very wise spirits that help us with our life. And as long as we make the right decisions, we go along and we have problems. Everybody has problems. There's nobody on the planet that doesn't have problems because that's how we learn. But in the end, we are trying to perfect our soul, and we will get there. And we're eternal beings, and we're going through some difficult times. And once those lessons are learned, then we move on. And if we aren't too happy with the life that we're living, and we struggle with it, then we need to make better decisions. And it's easy to do because way deep down inside, we know the decisions to make. We know what the right thing to do is. If you do what you know is right, but you don't want to do, you can never go wrong. A lot of times you have, you know, we fear making these decisions because we think that the consequences will be a problem for us, and we don't want to deal with them. But we have to deal with them, because if we don't, the universal consciousness will give us the problem again and again. We have to learn these lessons. But once you do, once you learn them, that's it. They're gone, and you move on.
Mm-hmm.
And eternally, we're gods with a little g in the making. Every one of us, we're all equal. There is no such thing. You know, spirits don't have a sex. They don't have a race. They don't have a nationality. We're all the same. And we're all working our way up the ladder, and the ladder to intelligence and towards perfection. We never get there, but we're working there.
When you talk about making the right decisions and learning life lessons, is that what we all know to be morality? Is that what we're learning?
No, I think it's part of it. I think it's part of it. I think it's more than that, though. I think if we lived an ethical life where ethics and virtue was the same thing, I think that would be a huge step in the right direction. Selfless service to others is absolute key. But it's understanding emotions. It's going through things. If you can't experience fear in the spiritual world because it doesn't exist. So we can experience it here. We can experience rage and hate and all of these other things that we're trying to deal with and trying to understand about. So these emotional truths are what we're trying to understand and learn and cope with. And that certainly, you know, once you understand that, then you start to realize that, well, virtue is really the only way to go. Because we are all one, we're all part of this universal consciousness. So if we do something that hurts somebody else, it hurts us as well. And once we realize that, then it gives you a whole new perspective on who you are and how to make decisions.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. This is fascinating, David. David, how do we get the book?
You can get it on Amazon. You can go to my website, davidgagin.com, and it's G-A-G-G-I-N, Gagin, davidgagin.com, The Endless Journey, as I say, you can get it on Amazon, probably the easiest way to get it, but if you go to my website, it'll get you to Amazon.
Great. David Gagin, The Endless Journey. David, I want to thank you so much for being on The Journey of Hope today. It's a little bit different program for us, but it's absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rodney.
We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope.
Finally let me go, but it was rough with an ankle bracelet. GPS, tracking device, impossible to fake. Couldn't get a job no matter how hard I tried, except for busting rocks.
Hey again, remember you can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Got an idea for a show? Is there something that you think we ought to be addressing here on the show? Let me know and we'll hook it up. We might even have you on to talk about it if that's what you want. But you can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Let me know how you're doing. Well, that's all we have time for. I want to thank my special guest, David Gagin. That was a neat show, something a little bit different. I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.